Well, good time. Welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now at the beginning of Daf Lamed Hey Amud Bet, and in this podcast we'll continue until the Mishnah Lamed Vav Amud Bet. And we're going to take a look at, first of all, at the reading of Tana de Chizkiah, who said that Makeh Adam and Makeh Behema are equated. In other words, killing somebody and causing damage are equated. And just like Makeh Behema, we don't care whether it's B'shogu Mezid, you have to pay. Similarly, Makeh Adam, we don't care whether it's B'shogu Mezid, you're exempted from financial liability, even though you may not be executed. Now, Mimai D'Bacholtiv, so Amar Evchia the Rava, Utan Mechizki Adamar Makeh Adam Makeh Behema. So according to him, in my debacholti, who says that that's referring to a normal case where you attacked somebody bechol, belekali fluge, and there's no reason to distinguish, meaning, makeh behema, you pay, whether you did it on purpose or not, but that's only, of course, if you did it and there was no greater punishment like chilul Shabbat involved. Dima b'shabakti, maybe the pasuk is referring to doing it on Shabbat, behema gufeikali fluge, because in behema itself, we would distinguish. Which is that if you did the action incidentally, then you would not be chayav for Shabbat and you'd have to pay. If you did it intentionally, you'd be chayav for Shabbat and you wouldn't have to pay. And therefore we'd make the same argument that Makeh Adam is inconsistent. In other words, maybe Makeh Behema is inherently inconsistent, and so maybe so is Makeh Adam. So lo saka daita, so Rava answered, you can't think. So dichtiv, in the next pasuk it says, or in the later pasuk, Makeh Behema yishalmena, Makeh Adam yimat. That in that same context, you're going to pay for damage to an animal and be killed for killing a person. So nehechi dami, what's the context? Idlo achube, if they didn't warn him, so makeh adam amayumat, so nobody can be executed. Alapshita da achube, must be a case where there was atra'a. Now, v'iba shabbat, makeh adam shomana, if the whole context of the parsha is where the person was warned, and then if you're going to say that the context is dafka on Shabbat, and therefore if you did it unintentionally, then you're going to pay. But Makeh Behema Shomena, is that true you're going to pay? If you did it on Shabbat and you're warned, you're going to be killed. Therefore, our parsha must be talking about Chol, which is why you will pay, even though you were warned about not hurting the animal, because there's no warning involved. And so therefore, you're going to pay in either case, whether it's Shogeg or Mezid. And therefore, when you kill somebody, you will be exempt from the financial payment, whether it's a shogeg mezid, meaning whether you'll be killed or not. Now, Amar Papa Labaye. So now he asks Labaye about Rabba's teaching. The Rabba, the Amar Chidush, Shechit Shatar Bekras. Remember, Rabba said, normally, Reb Meir would agree that Eino Meitu Mishalem. If you're executed, you don't pay. But in those cases where the payment is specifically a knas, then you do pay, such as Arba Bechamisha. That was Rabba's approach. So now, according to what he said, the Alpha of the Mikta Mishalem, even though you're killed, you still pay. So Matnitin Kaman Mokimla, our Mishnah doesn't fit anybody's position. Ik Reb Meir, if our Mishnah is Reb Meir, then Kashabito. Because after all, remember, Onus Mafat is also a Knas. So it should be the case that even if you're killed for Bito, you should still pay the Knas. And so it can't be Reb Meir. Ik Reb Yechuni Vanakana, then Kashachoto. If it follows Reb Nechunya ben Akana, remember we talked about him a couple podcasts ago, a few dapim ago, who says that karet is equal to mitat beit din as far as chomer b'rabbinei, so kasha achoto. So the whole list of the third group in the Mishnah of achoto and achotaviv, etc., they're all karet, should not be there either because you wouldn't pay kanas in that case. Ikra of Yitzchak, now Yitzchak shows up, I made a little note on the page, Reb Yitzchak shows up in Masachet Makot as maintaining that karei do not get makot. He disagrees with that Mishnah. And if that's the case, then kasha mamzeret. Because a mamzeret does get makot, and you're not going to pay, because that's a lav. So now, all of this will work. Rabba, who's according to his approach, will not be able to attribute our Mishnah to any one of these authorities, will be able to do so, if he accepts Rabbi Yochanan's premise, which is that when you do something that carries a greater punishment, but there's no hatra'a, and therefore in practice you can't get that punishment, then payment does happen. Then, then he could also explain the Mishnah as being Rabbi Yochanan. And then it could be any one of these, could be Rabbi Meir, it could be Rabbi Kana, because we're talking about a case where there was no Hatra'ah, therefore you're not going to get Karet or Makot or whatever it may be for that sexual liaison, in which case you do pay the Knas. That's very simple. Alright, but if he holds like a Shlokish, who says that whether or not you actually get the more serious punishment, even if there was no Hatra'ah, since it was an act that potentially could exempt you, therefore, you are exempt even in that case. So the answer is, we're stuck. We have to say that Rabbah accepts Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is that if you are not in practice going to get the more severe punishment, then you are no longer exempt from Mamon. Now, Amar Matna Babaye. So now what we're doing is clarifying at the end of the sugya all the different positions and how they kind of analyzing the positions. We analyze the position of Tanan Vechizkiah. We analyze the position of Rabbah. Now we're going to look at the position of Rish Lakish. Amar Rav Matna Labaye. Rish Lakish, Tam Feirish Ribta Torah Chayvam Malkiyot Kechayvei Mitot. Rish Lakish, if you recall, was the one who said against Rabbi Yochanan that the Torah stressed the connection between, or the parallel between Chiyuv Malkot and Chiyuv Mitah, for the purpose of saying that just like in Chiyuv Mitah, whether or not you actually get the Mitah, you're exempt, and that Rabbi Yochanan agreed to. Similarly, in the case of Makot, so now, in Masechet Shvuot, which is where Menuchin Yonakana prominently appears, and he's talking about a case where you burn somebody else's field on Yom Kippur, so you chayav karet for Melacha Yom Kippur, but you also chayav for the damages. Menuchin Yonakana says you are exempt for the damages. Who is it who disagrees with him? Rav Meir, Rabbi Yitzchak. The answer is that it could be either be Rav Meir or Rabbi Yitzchak. This doesn't really connect to our issue so much, but who would be the Tana who disagrees with him, right? And I said it could be Rav Meir, who says lokel mishalem, and therefore, even though you're going to get karet for Yom Kippur, and therefore the Beit Din will give you makot, according to the position that's not Rabbi Yitzchak, nonetheless you'll pay, and against Rav Chanina Kana. Or it could be Rabbi Yitzchak, who says there are no makot, and therefore, when you chayvei kritot doesn't help you because he does not accept the gzera shava of ason ason that we used before, and therefore he will say that that just because you got karet doesn't exempt you from tashlumi. Good. Tanu Rabbanan. We have the following bright that will take us to the end of the sugya. Arayot ushniot arayot enan no knas v'lo pitui. All right. We have a list of four circumstances where you don't pay knas. One of them is arayot and shniot. If you recall, shniot we had in Yevamot, in the second parak, as those particular ariot that the rabbis added to regular Erevah, generally one generation beyond particular ariot. So, Einan b'lo knas v'lo pitui. If you have bia with one of the ariot or the shniot ariot, there is no knas, and there is no din of pitui. Amna enet, Einan b'lo knas v'lo pitui. If there's a girl who's mema enet, and it's a girl who's married by her mother, married off by her mother, and then she walked out before the age of Na'arut, then she is no longer liable for knas. Ailonit, en alo knas v'lo pitui, an ailonit, remember a girl who never developed secondary sexual characteristics, does not have knas. Vayotzit nishum shem ra, a girl who is divorced because of a bad rumor. That's why we'll read it, we'll fix it later on. En alo knas v'lo pitui. Now let's look at all four of these. My arayot to my shniot arayot. What does arayot and shniot arayot mean in this context? If it's the classic interpretation, which is that arayot are like your daughter and your sister, etc., and shniot are like aim, etc., the extension. So, since after all, midoraita, you can marry this girl, so why shouldn't you pay kras? After all, the Rabban said you can't marry this girl. Midoraita, you could. So that can't be the interpretation. It must be that arayot means the most severe ones, chayevei mitot, like chamoto, and shniot is chayevei kritot, like achoto. Aval chayevei lavin yesh tam knas. So that means that chayevei lavin have a knas. By the way, this would not be consistent with our Mishnah, because it would only have groups 1 and 2 of our Mishnah, not group 3. Umani, then who would be the author? Shimon Timani. It's Shimon Timani, who, if you recall, way at the beginning of our sugya said, who gets knas? Anyone with whom kiddushin are tofes. He's reading it now like Rabbi Kiva. Say kiddushin are tofes b'chay bilavi. Now, ikadamri, some people read it differently. Arayot means chayve mitot betin vechayve kritot. Shniot is chayve lavin. So now, arayot and shniot don't get knas, meaning any woman with whom it's a lav or worse. So mani shemanasi, that would be shemanasi who says, isha ruya lekaima. It is only a woman that you're allowed to be married to that gets knas. Okay, that was the first item. The second item on this was mema'enet. Now, this is very strange. A mema'enet ema lo knas velo pitui. Now, haktana ba'alma idla, mema'enet is a girl underage. So now, does that mean that another girl underage would get knas just because she's a mema'enet, she doesn't get it? Haktana ba'alma idla, samani, rabbanani. That's rabbanani. If you recall, at the very beginning of our sugya, beginning of our parak, we noted that Reb Meir was of the opinion that a ktana does not get knas, and the Rabbanan say that a ktana does get knas. So now, if you're going to tell me a ma'ana doesn't get knas, the implication is that any other ktana does get a knas, and that follows Rabbanan. Dami ktana ish la knas. So I'm a sefer, look at the next clause. I eliminate ain't a lo knas for lo pitui. Ata the mayor, that seems to support the mayor. Why? Ra ktana in la knas. After all, we all agree that an Ilanit doesn't ever have a period called Na'arut. She's a Ktana, 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 and then at whatever age we determine that she is never going to become a Na'ara, we immediately declare her Bogeret. So now, according to Chachamim, she would still have a Knas, because up until that moment, she's a Ktana. According to Meir, she would not, because she never had Na'arut. So that means that Clause B in the Braita, which is about Nema'at, follows Rabbanan. Clause C, which is Ilanit, follows against Rabbanan, Reb Meir. Reish Rabbanan is safer, Reb Meir? If you want to argue that the entire thing is Rameir, with Ma'anet Savar like Rabbi Yehuda, perhaps he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that a girl can be with Ma'anet all the way into the time that she's a Na'ara, then that would explain it. He said, and Ma'anet, meaning, I agree only a Na'ara can get Knas, but if she's a Ma'anet as a Na'ara, then she can't get Knas. And me Savar, since when does Rameir be with Rabbi Yehuda? About Tanya, Admatai, about Ma'anet, how, until what age can a girl do Miyun? Mayor says the minute she has Shay Sarot, she can't do Miyun anymore, which means as a Na'ara, she can't do Miyun. Rabbi Yehuda gives a later Shiur. You can use your imagination to understand what it means. But Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that Miyun can last past that point, but Rameir explicitly disagrees. So there's no way that Rameir could agree that a Mema'enet could be a Na'ara. So by implication, if you say a Mema'enet cannot have Kas, it means that other Tanot do, and that's not Rameir. The answer is that on right there's Rabbi Yehuda. Well, the Ktana Sabalek Rameir, he happens to agree with Rameir that a Ktana does not get Knas, and that's why an Ilanit doesn't get. But because he holds that Miyun can go on later, he's saying a Na'ara, who would get Knas, won't get it if she's a Mema'enet. So we Sabalah, since when does Rabbi Yehuda accept Rameir? Rabbi Yehuda Rav, Zutik Rameir. Rav says, in referring back in the beginning of our Mishnah, says that the one who maintains that a Ktana doesn't get Knas is Reb Meir. In Itav, it's true that Rabbi Yehuda agreed with him. It should say, by the way, that would really strengthen the position. Because Reb Meir alone is one thing. Reb Meir plus Rabbi Yehuda would very much carry the day and very possibly become the halacha. And the fact that it does not say, rather it's just Reb Meir, implies that Reb Meir alone holds the position that a Ktana does not have Knas. So therefore, it's very hard to say that. So rather, Haitana Savalak Rameir Machada Paligaloi Machada. The answer is that if the Tana of our bright is a later Tana, he accepts Rameir's position on Ayunit, on Tana, but disagrees with him about Mima'anet and claims that a Mima'anet, a woman can do Mi'un until later on. So it's not Rabbi Yehuda, but rather it is another Tana who accepts Rameir's position about Tana, Ema Knas, but he disagrees with him about Mi'un and says Mi'un can be done until later. Now, Rav from Amari has a different take. My Mema'enet, what's a Mema'enet? He says, you know, when it says Mema'enet ain't Knas, it doesn't mean a girl who did Miyun. It means a girl who can do Miyun. In other words, it's just saying, Aktana cannot do Miyun. By the way, that would be a very clean answer, except for one problem. And the problem is it doesn't say that. The Litnik Tana, so why doesn't it just say Tana? The answer is Kasha. You're right, that's a problem. But Rav from's answer would be very good, because then it would indicate that the entire Mishnah is Rameir. And when he said Mema'enet, he means a girl who's in the age of Miyun, but then it should just say Ktana. Now the third clause is Ilanit. Ilanit Ema lo Knas velo Pitui. Or meaning we have a challenge to that. Achereshet Ashotava Ilanit Ishtan Knas Ishtan Tana Ptulin. We're going to get back to the details of that, the Achereshet, meaning a deaf mute. and a shota, a woman who doesn't have minimal level of intelligence, and an ilanit, still has knas, and also is tana p'tulim. When they get married, a husband can claim for lo matzati p'tulim. What's the challenge? Harabeinu, harabanan. That's very simple. The position that ilanit ain lach knas is rabbeinu because his akhtan has no knas. Since an ilanit has a knas, rabbanan. That was easy. That was so easy that the Gemara asks, with the karila, my karila, why did you even bring it up? The answer is, mishum de'idlai lemir ma'achriti al-le'ilavei, because there's actually another problem in that braita that you want to challenge. Because you said that a cheresh and a shota have tanat betulim, cheresh and a shota ad boger mukaitz inlein la tanat betulim. We have another braita that says that a cheresh and a shota, plus a boger and a mukaitz, we'll get to the boger in a minute, do not have tanat betulim. A blind girl and an ilanit do have tana p'tulim. Sumchus on Rosh Hashanah, Sumai not have tana p'tulim. Sumchus says in Emor Meir that a blind girl also does not have tana p'tulim, and we're going to get to that also in a minute. So now, that's why this braita was brought in, not because of the problem of an ilanit, because that we answered simply. If you don't believe a tana gets knas, an ilanit doesn't get knas. That's Rosh Hashanah. If a tana gets knas, an ilanit gets knas. That's Rabbanan. That was easy. But the problem was this issue of the cheresh of the shotak. Do they have tana p'tulim or not? So the answer is, Arsheshit, Lokasha, Megamliya, Abishua. And this takes us back to the first parak. The second half of the first parak with all those disputes, the running dispute between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel as to whether we accept the girl's claim about either who she was with or how she became not a betula, etc. So now, Eimer Shamat Lady Rabbi Gamliel, in other words, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Eimer Tana Betulim, because if they claim Mukareitz or whatever, then we believe them. According to Rabbi Yeshua, we expect them to be betula, and if they claim something else happened, we don't believe them. When did Rabbi Gamliel say we believe them? When they make a claim. Since when? We didn't hear that Rabbi Gamliel made any such statement when they didn't make such a claim. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were disagreeing about when the girl says, Mukar Eitzani, and she says, Rusari Shat, or Anusa, Nenasti Tachtacha, and he says, no, Nenasti Tnechem, Ashlerasti. And so the question is, whose claim to believe? Since when do we on our own prop up a claim without her making the claim? The answer is Ain. Kevin Damara Maria Mahena, since Rabbi Gamliel says we believe her, Gonzuk Tachbi Chali Leimo. It's an example of the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Tachbi Chali Leim, open up your mouth for the deaf one, for the mute. In other words, the one who cannot make their own claim, we make the claim for her. So we argue in advance on behalf of this Chereshet and Shota. But in Lantan Apetulim, and if you find her not to be a Betula, she was a Mukareitz beforehand. Now, back in the Braita, in that second Braita that was brought, he said, Abogeret, in Lantan Apetulim, Baharamarab, Bogeret, Onimah, Laila Rishon. You said Abogeret doesn't have Tan Apetulim, which means that if a man finds her not to be a Betula, he can't come and claim, Lo Matzati Betulim. And yet we have the ruling in Masachet Nida, that Bogeret, Onimah, Laila Rishon. That a Bogeret gets the first night, which means any blood that you see during Bia the first night, we assume to be Dam Betulim, and you can continue to have Bia. Afterwards it's Dam Nida, which means a Bogeret still has Dam Betulim. So the answer is, you're right. Ida Katayin Tana Dam Machinami. You're right. If the guy came and claimed Lo Matzati Dam, that would be a valid thing, because a Bogeret has Dam. Achmaskin and the Katayin Tana Petach Patuach. When do we say that he has no claim? If he comes and claims Petach Patuach. He said, look, she's already a Bogera, things have been stretched out, she's not, there's a Petach Patuach. You shouldn't be surprised, that doesn't mean anything. Now, back in that Braita, we said, Sumcha Sumer Mishumer Beir, Suma in La Tana Petulim. But a blind girl, there's no claim of Petulim, against Tanakamu said there is. Now, my time in a Sumchus, why does he claim that? Because she's blind, she falls over things, she hurts herself. So, Kulu Nami Chavuti Mechbeti, other girls also, they were going horseback riding, hurt themselves. So the answer is, Kulu wrote to Marat Laiman. Any girl who gets hurt sees she's bleeding, she sees she's gotten hurt there, she shows her mother, and then her mother knows to somehow let the Chatan know, you know what, she's not total betula in that way. Zur ina rela, the ina mara lima. But this one's not, she's blind, so she doesn't know to show to her mother. And therefore, no Chatan can come and claim, I didn't find her to be betula, because you never know what happened before, and she would herself not known about it. And the last one on the list was Hayotzik Mishum Shemra. What is that? Ein Lalo Kras Lo Pitzu. It's Mishum Shemra Batzkili. What are you talking about? If a girl has to leave because she's been accused and convicted of having an affair, and that's why she has to leave, course she doesn't get kanas. She's going to be killed. It's about skila. Shei shirachi kamar is what it means. Mishatzal Hashem Rabbi Yalduta. It means a girl who, when she, before she was married, a young girl, who the rumors abound about her behavior, ain't all the kanas for lo pitui. So now let's see exactly what that means. Our Papa Shvami Ashtar Reya Lomagdinim Beit. So our Papa says from that you can infer that if there's a star that has suddenly gotten a solid reputation about its legitimacy, you can't use it to collect money. So now, that means that our Papa is saying, the star and this girl are sort of on parallel. Let's see what it's talking about. Echidami. If the word went out that this was a forged star, then you're going to parallel that. The word went out that this girl was sleeping around. If you hear word that a girl has been sleeping around, you pay no attention to it. A rumor is a rumor. You don't give it any credence. So what must the case be? Two guys come forward and say, she actually propositioned us to have relations with her. So what's the parallel with the star? He came up to us and said, please forge signatures on this. Now, I understand why, if the girl testified, if the two guys testified, the girl propositioned them, even though they, of course, are going to say, we didn't give in, clearly there are lots of people out there who would be willing to, so the girl, now we have to suspect, really has that relation, in which case she doesn't get a kanas, if somebody then is onus her. Right? Just because this guy came up to these two fellows and said, please forge for me, does that mean other Jews out there are going to forge? After all, Pritzuk Barayot is something that's a lot easier to find. So Achanami came into Kamahadra Ziyufa, Eber Ziyufa Zayifa Chatab. And same thing here, since the guy's already looking, according to their testimony, he's looking for someone to help him forge it, we assume that he did find somebody to forge it, and he wrote a forged document, and therefore that's what our Papa is making the equation. So when we say Yosef Yishuv Shem Ra, means not just a girl who there's bad rumors about, but rather a girl about whom we've had testimony that she tried to proposition people, and we accept that testimony, and therefore she doesn't get kanas, and the parallel is a star, where two witnesses come forward and say, yeah, the guy who's holding the star came and actually tried to get us to forge a star for him, therefore we believe that this star is forged also. Okay, we'll pick up the next Mishnah on the next podcast.